What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mike Dolce Show, episode 101. And it's what date? It's January 8th, 2015. It's been a week since our last episode was released, and we're going to be more regular with our episodes. The Mike Dolce Show is going to be taken as Fiverr. Get the regularity comment?
I knew you were going to mention Fiverr.
Because it's regular. Regular. So the goal is... 2 a week. That is the goal. Now, I'm traveling quite a bit, so we're going to try and pound this stuff out anyway. Hopefully, I can get Mr. Thiago Pitbull Alves on the podcast while I'm down there in Florida at American Top Team training alongside with him and Mirsad Bektik, who fights the week prior. We had Mirsad on the show last week. Awesome kid. Can't wait to see him. And all sorts of studs. Maybe I'll get the champ, Robbie Lawler, on the podcast. That would be awesome. See what the ruthless one has to say about his split decision victory over my client, Johnny Hendricks.
Robbie's a good guy.
Robbie's a good guy. Yeah, he and I have worked together before for the Air Force, where we've conducted seminars, health and fitness seminars. He's a great guy. And, you know, we travel together, we eat together, and all that good stuff. And then every so often we go out and we compete, you know, against each other. And everybody's making money. Everybody's putting on a show, doing the thing that we love to do. Just, you know, having fun with it all. So Hector Lombard, maybe we can get him on. He is another great guy I've had the pleasure of hanging out with. And maybe Coach Lebo, Ricardo Laborio, who is one of the legends inside the world of MMA, but jiu-jitsu. I mean, that's where he made his bones.
He always seems happy.
He's the happiest damn dude I know. He great guy. I mean, every day he goes to the gym. He trains at the gym, and he trains the athletes, and he sees his boys, his sons, go out there and compete and do so well. So I'm excited. I'm getting ready to pack my bags and get on out of here for a little bit and to help the Pitbull get ready. Excited. Pitbull and Mirsad. Mirsad fights the week before. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be in Sweden with Mirsad, but he'll be in good hands, well taken care of, and he'll be prepped and ready. And Pitbull and I will be coming to Vegas about 10 days before his competition to get acclimated, get the weight check in order, and go out there and do what he does and, you know, and make that march up to the title. And that's the weird thing where Thiago Alves is just one devastating finish away from being in title contention. Thiago Alves was the 2008 Fighter of the Year. He ran through the welterweight division, and unfortunately, he lost a decision in the world title fight to George St. Pierre. Thiago's had some injuries, and he took some time off to really get his life in order in a good way. He went through a maturity phase, and it was necessary for him over the last year or two. And I'm excited to see this version of the Pitbull back in action. And I think after this fight on January 31st versus Jordan Mayne, the whole world, the whole welterweight division is going to shit their pants, and they're going to realize, holy fuck, Thiago Alves is back and he's serious and he is prepped and primed for a title run. So that's going to be interesting. And he hasn't really, he's such a sweet, quiet guy outside of the octagon that he doesn't get the headlines he probably should because he doesn't shit talk. He just trains and he treats everybody well and respectfully. Then he gets in the octagon and he destroys people. So excited for that. And, you know, we're going to keep grinding this thing forward. We have a ton. We are inundated with your Q&As, which is awesome and thankful. We appreciate it. So I'm going to stop my jibba jabba and start answering some of your questions. How's that sound, Brandy?
That sounds awesome to me.
Well, let's go.
Eric Blanco says, I'm starting the 3 weeks to Shredded book and ordered the Living Lean cookbook. However, my wife is 5'5", 125 pounds, and she is afraid to get on board with Living Lean in fear of losing weight. How do I convince her and my kids, who are 5 and 6, to toss out the poison and live lean? Thanks for the motivation, and I really dig the podcast.
You know, Eric, that's a tough one because you might have some crabs in the pot around you. There might be some people, and I'm not saying it's your wife, and I'm not saying it's your kids, but there might be a little pushback from you trying to make a change, a positive change. And we all see that. And it's unfortunate sometimes that when we try and improve our life, we try and do something to better ourselves, there's pushback. Some people might be nervous that you're going to leave them behind with your newfound fitness or energy or lifestyle or sex appeal. Possible. Or maybe people, they just don't want to change. They like their goddamn cheesy poofs and they want to fucking keep eating them. Well, that's possible also. But, and I'm not saying again that that's your family, but this is just speaking generally to the audience. No matter what people say, no matter what their fears and concerns and lifestyle choices are, you can't let that affect your own, even when you're head of household, and especially when you're the head of household. So you need to make the change that you feel best, and you need to lead by example. And what I try and tell everyone is don't force these meals on people. Don't force the lifestyle on people. Share it. Let them understand what you're doing. And I say make food for those around you. Here, try this. Go ahead and eat your crap if you must, but try this first. Eat this. Taste this. Help me make this. Let's go shopping and buy this. Let's pick this. So you bring your family into the process. So now they gain ownership of it. And most people are intelligent. They understand what's healthy and what's good and what's not, what's going to pull them back and deteriorate their health. So tell your wife to look at Miss Brandy Dolce. Miss Brandy has been living lean and following the Dolce diet principles since back in her pre-Dolce days. And she's extremely healthy. And most of the people, all the people, I don't know anybody who follows our principles and isn't healthy and isn't happy and doesn't have the body that they want. So I would explain to your wife that the best thing about our program is you can eat as much food as you want. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. You want that second helping of power pasta? Well, God darn it, go ahead and get me one too. Just don't eat it all. That's what I say. So if she's exercising intelligently, if she's eating healthily, if she's resting completely, if she's living a life of happiness and joy alongside you, she will have the body that she absolutely wants. And if her goal is to gain weight, gain muscle, well, she will. If she's training and exercising, following a structured training program, well, then she'll add lean, functional, shapely, healthy muscle to her body. She might lose deposits of body fat in the unwanted areas, and that's a good thing. But she'll replace that with shape and tone. But most notably, it's the energy and the vitality that this lifestyle brings. So to close, I would say just start doing it on your own and share these meals with your family. Just let them know it's not a diet. We don't count calories, especially with the Living Lean program. And this is a lot of confusion for a lot of people. The Living Lean program was made for the average healthy adults, male and female, that want to live a life of joy, a life of energy, a life of fitness. The Living Lean program was meant for the average healthy adult male to have a body fat percentage anywhere between 8 to 12% without even trying. If you're below 12% body fat, you have a full pack of abs. At 10%, you have really well-defined abs. At 8%, you start having veins running through your abs. That's a very simple, easy, general observation. So if you're following the Living Lean program as it is laid out in the Living Lean book or in the Living Lean cookbooks, you're eating these meals without really counting calories because your body's going to self-limit the amount of calories you consume based upon the high nutrient density of the food selected for our recipes, you won't be able to eat additional excess overflowing calories. For ladies, the typical lady is going to be around or sub 20% body fat. That is a very toned and tight midsection. That is strong, shapely arms and shoulders with mild definition running between the two. No, you don't look like a bodybuilder. No, you won't look like a fitness athlete, but you will look amazing in your little black dress or your jeans, you will have no problem putting a bikini on and going to the beach. And you'll look better than 95% of the other ladies, regardless of age, walking around. That's the science behind the Living Lean meal plan. And that's what you're trying to share with your family. What's greater than that is kids absolutely love the recipes. And this isn't a sales pitch for Living Lean. This is answering your question. We created that book, that content, those principles for real families just like us. Because I saw this gaping divide between what my professional – and this idea was 10 years in the making. I saw what my athletes were eating and doing. I saw what their wife was having to go through, the prep meals for dad. And then she would have to go and find and make meals for the kids. And somewhere in between, mom was losing herself. So I wrote Living Lean more for mom than I did for dad. It was more for the families. How can an entire family eat food that's good enough for a professional athlete to thrive in their career, yet the most picky and finicky of children will want seconds of each meal, and mom will only have to make one trip to the grocery store. She'll only have to spend, you know, 1 hour or 1.5 hour in the kitchen making these meals for the day. And that's the concept behind it. So maybe have your wife listen to this podcast, or maybe have her follow at Brandy Dolce on Instagram or on Twitter and see what Brandy's been up to. Or, God, just look at the testimonials. I mean, we have as many female as we do males, and probably a third of our audience is just family-related topics talking about this. So there we go.
Shane McNulty says, first off, I want to say thank you for helping me lose over 30 pounds.
Boom, Shane.
I started at 216, got down to 183, and have been plateauing in the mid-180s for weeks now. I do strength training workouts 4 to 5 times a week, plus cardio. Any advice on breaking through this plateau would be tremendous. Thank you for all you do.
So you've lost 30 pounds, you're down in the 180s, and you're trying to lose more. I'd like to know a little bit more about what your general health and fitness background is. How long have you been training before you started making this progress? What your training system is currently? What your current lean body mass ratio or body fat percentage is? I mean, are you walking around at 3% body fat trying to get lower, leaner, lighter? Then we can't go any lower. I'm assuming not. And what you might want to do, and when this happens to a lot of people that want to get lighter, 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 I say build muscle. Focus on building muscle. Personally, I would drop one of those cardio days and either make that a rest day, or I would spread out my training and really focus on strength, power, and hypertrophy. I would really focus on building muscle. Training with perfect form, using approximately 80% of my one rep max, and getting my repetition somewhere in the 8 to 10 range. You can go 6 to 12. Really, sub 6 is more for strength and power. Above 6 in that 8 to 10 range is more for hypertrophy. If you're hitting 10 reps, 12 reps, it's time to go a little bit heavier. The basic compound exercises, but keep your rest paces short. I like to rest 30 seconds between my warm-up sets, 1 minute between my bridge set, and then 2 minutes before my single all-out balls to the wall. I'm going to damn near puke and die after this last set. So use that basic template, and I move immediately to the next station, next exercise. Workout should last really 45 minutes at max, an hour if you have a progressive warm-up and cool-down. Maybe you hit some ancillary body parts at the end. But focus on building muscle. Also think about carb cycling. You want to make sure you're eating at least 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. And that could be lean body mass, depending on what your body weight is, but it's a little easier. It's general math here. Let's keep this simple, guys. That's what we do. We keep this simple. About 1 gram of protein per pound of total body weight. That's pretty simple. Now, your carbs should either be times 1, times 2, or times 3 of your body weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you should have 200, 300, 200, 400, or 600 grams of carbs a day. Now, 600 is a little high. I would tap that down to about 500. 400 might not be bad, but I would bring that down to somewhere maybe about 250 to 300. So I'm having 200, 300, 400 grams of carbs per day. in 3-day cycles, and I'm constantly cycling through. And then I'm going to use my brain, and I'm going to say, how do I feel? Am I just absolutely starving, dog shit tired, my brain isn't working, I have no energy? Well, then I'm going to bump my carbs up a little bit. Or if I say, you know what, I feel amazing on my 400-500-gram days. I feel pretty good on my 300-400-gram days, and by the time I get to my 200-gram day, I feel like dog shit again, but it's only for 24 hours because I kick back in the 500. Well, that's probably a good thing. That means we're getting enough carbohydrate energy into our body, but not too much that we're spilling over, and we're really squeezing out that glycogen. We're squeezing those carbs out of our body over that 3-day cycle, and then we're jacking it back in. We're hitting a little mini refeed. That's another good way to do it, and that's hopefully simple math, simple terms, and I'm trying to be very simple for those that are listening, because it's not just the one question that was asked, because there's tens of thousands of people listening to this right now, soon to be hundreds of thousands, and then the millions and billions. But we'll talk to the 50,000 or so of you right now listening. And that's an easy way to do it. Everything is like 3-day cycles. And at the end of 3 days, and I'd say this all the time, I've been saying this for years, in 3 days, you can pretty much tell what is happening to your body, how your body's responding, whether you're trying to lose weight, gain weight, new training program, you know, relationship at school, new job. 3 days is enough time to really say, do I fucking like this or do I hate this? Do I need to change something? But the changes shouldn't be dramatic. They should be small changes so we don't overcorrect. You don't want to overcorrect your course. You want to make small little adjustments until we dial it in. I hope that helps.
Ben Pywell says, "Hey, Mike and Brandy, I'm a UK-based personal trainer and have been following the Dolce diet for around a year now. It has completely changed my life, and after getting my girlfriend hooked too, I'm spreading the Dolce diet as much as I can in the UK in 2015. For Christmas, I gave all of my clients a copy of the Living Lean Cookbook. This was after we did a competition with 3 Weeks to Shredded in November, and collectively the group lost over 100 kilograms. My question is, what sorts of things with the Dolce diet certification allow myself as a personal trainer to do?"
I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. He says, "I'm really keen to be an ambassador for the Dolce diet in the UK. I'm 8 days into the new year and I'm already being invincible."
I love it. I love it. We are invincible. That is the motto of 2015. If you don't know about it, well, you better go back to episode 100 and learn how you too can be invincible. But to answer your question, you're speaking of the Dolce diet certification course where you can be a certified Dolce diet coach. And that is something that will be esteemed in the industry. That is something that will set you apart from every other personal trainer out there. If you are a registered dietitian, having the Dolce diet certification will further enhance your resume and let your clientele base know that you are authorized and approved within the Dolce diet system of health management. Now, this is something that is very important. Now, what will that do for you as the person listening right now that either does not work in the fitness industry and just wants to have a better grasp of their own health and life? Or if you are someone that does work in the fitness industry, whether you're a personal trainer, whether you're a mixed martial arts coach, whether you're a certified strength and conditioning specialist, whether you're a registered dietitian, whether you're a holistic nutritionist, whether you're a lifestyle coach, does not matter. The Dolce Diet Certification course is an additional certification that will enhance your resume and allow people to know that you have gone through our exhaustive education. It is a 3-month course. It is a college level course teaching the basic fundamentals of nutrition, which is very important. We break it down and start at the very beginning. And we build you all the way through until a very solid, and this is phase one. This is phase one for certification. We're working on phase two at this point. That's going to be part of our CEU standard, and it's going to be very easy if you're already certified. We'll break that down on a future episode. But the crux of what you're asking, or the point of what you're asking, but I don't want to get too verbose in my response here. This will allow you to educate the public on nutrition. Now, in the United States, there are very specific laws that you cannot prescribe a nutrition program for another person without being a registered dietitian. And that's a serious thing. So all those people out there that are not registered dietitians, that are just willy-nilly writing programs for people, calling themselves nutritionists and whatnot, well, you're breaking the law. And you can't and shouldn't be doing that. And through the Dolce Diet Certification course, you will not be able, state governing law abiding, you may not be able to legally write a nutrition program. But as a Dolce Diet certified coach, my team of registered dietitians will be able to write meal plans for your clients, for your business through you. You become a member of our community, and my resources now become your resources. So if you're a personal trainer, you can now sell that you are an authorized Dolce Diet coach, making you an ambassador, making you a representative, making you an extension of myself. So if I can't be in Molalla, Nebraska, but you happen to be a personal trainer, physical therapist, MMA coach in that area, you can sit down and I can start sending clients to you where they can conduct their, or you can sit down and you can help educate them on nutrition. You can be accountable and you could feed that information through our very easy process to my team of amazing, brilliant dietitians who will develop the meal plan and the monitoring and work directly with you to incorporate this. Now, this is something that's new, and this is something that nobody else is doing, and those that try are not doing it nearly as successfully as we are right now because we took the time to truly vet this out. We wanted to make sure, first and foremost, that it is legal, to make sure that you're not getting in trouble and we're supporting you. We wanted to make sure that it is effective, that we can support you as a Dolce Diet coach 100%, that we can build your personal business, we can build your personal brand, and we can help you help thousands of people within your own network. That is the goal. We have trainers right now. We have dietitians right now that are already in our funnel, in our system, going through the beta version of this course. And we cannot wait to get them completely on board because our goal is to have Dolce Diet representatives in every city, in every state, in every country around the world because there's only one of me. There's only one Dolce Diet Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we want you to open your own. We want you to be that rep. And there's a shitload of money to be made for qualified coaches that are truly going to help people. Because money's not the goal here. Helping people is the goal. But if you are one of those few select individuals that want to help people change their life, then you are the person for the job. And we're going to be very selective, FYI. We're not just going to allow anybody with a great resume into the system. We're going to be selective, and I'm a stickler. You got to get through Brandy Dolce. You got to go through the Zoe test. What?
What? Why are you looking at me like that? Plus,
Brandy's over there. She's like, yeah, she's grimacing. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully that answers. And we're still a few weeks away from releasing this wide scale. But if you guys are interested, you can contact – well, not yet. I don't want to overload our switchboard just yet. But we're going to be putting the information out there soon. We have a huge database of people that already want to be involved. We want you to be involved. But be prepared. It's a three-month course. You're going to have to study. You're going to be taking tests. We're going to give you all the curriculum that you need. There's going to be online video educational modules. There's going to be a textbook that we send to you. There's going to be, pop quizzes that I will send to you. And everything gets judged will be at the end. And it is, I'm not going to give it all away.
I know. When we have the information, we'll definitely put it out there.
I know all the information. I've seen it. I'm excited.
I know.
And why we've taken, we could have released this 2 years ago, but I didn't want to put it out until it was stellar. I wanted it to be better than any college course that you would take. And we took the time to put this material together to help educate you because at the end of this, I want you to know as much as I know. I want you to know more than I know. I want you to know what any registered dietitian knows. I want you to be able to speak intelligently on any topic of nutrition.
Keith Carreco says, Mike, you mentioned in your last podcast about being 212 and 8% body fat. Looking jacked, by the way. and the amount of protein you were consuming per meal, about 40 grams or so, I believe, while you were bulking up. How or what were you eating and drinking to get that much protein in each meal besides eating chicken at every meal? Huh. And were you having a protein shake in the middle of the night at all? Thank you. I appreciate all that you and Brandy do. Congrats to the both of you on the baby and hope to see you in Phoenix again this year, 2015 Invincible.
Brother, I appreciate it. Great to see your name pop up on here. And thank you for the question and thank you for the compliment. I've been working my ass off to get buff, but I'm only doing that not out of vanity. I'm doing that for you guys. I test everything on myself first. I make sure it's gosh darn perfect. And then I branch it out and disseminate the information to you guys. So, and you're right. It was difficult to get all that protein in. And my number one source of protein is Earth Grown Nutrients. It's real food. Every day I would wake up, I'd have my breakfast bowl. I started adding eggs into that. I would have, you know, those God knows how many poor chickens died at the hands of Mike Dolce.
You ate a lot of chicken.
And will continue to die.
You ate all sorts of meats, though.
But it wasn't just so. It was eggs. It's chicken. It's wild-caught salmon. It's grass-fed beef. I mean, those were the primaries. And a shitload of plant proteins, too. So all you vegans out there, I'm with you. I get it. I'm 100% on board. Though I'm not a vegan, I still take in the animal proteins. But I supplement my diet. It's probably two-thirds plant-based. Absolutely. I think that's safe to say. Two-thirds of my diet is plant-based for sure, but I definitely take in the animal proteins. But truly, even eating that much food, it was difficult for me to take in enough protein to really build my muscles the way I wanted to, the way I needed to, and the way that this program was set out to, the style of training that I incorporated, I needed a higher intake of amino acids. The way I was able to get this was through just that, through a whey protein, through a grass-fed, micro-filtered whey protein isolate. That is the key, ladies and gentlemen. That is the answer to muscle growth once you've already established a structured, consistent diet of Earth-Grown Nutrients. And I've said this for years and years and years. I've written articles on this. People say, well, Dolce, no pills, no powders, no potions. What are you saying? You take protein. I say, I've always said, you must have a diet structured consistently of real food. You must follow that for at least 6 months without taking a single supplement before you can then determine what supplement you actually need. And that's what a supplement is. A supplement is an addition to an existing meal plan. So I was eating a perfect 6 meals per day every single day for a hell of a lot more than 6 months. And I hadn't touched a single supplement in years outside a little bit of the testing I did for on it. And moving forward, when I came up with this meal plan and the muscle building program, I looked at it and I said, there's no way I can eat that much food. I can't eat that much food. And I dug deeper into the science. What truly sustains muscle tissue? What truly builds muscle tissue? How can I already grow my 38-year-old physique that has been straining under the iron for 30 years? I started lifting weights at 8 years old. At 30 years, I need to still make gains. My body has done everything. I've been through every program, every type of stimuli. How can I keep tricking my body to adapt and grow? How can I funnel these nutrients in a timely, efficient fashion into my system to allow this growth process to occur and continue? And I dug deep in science. I relied heavily upon my staff at the Dolce Diet Center to dig deep into the latest, the most tried and true scientific journals and research to understand the actual mechanism of muscle growth in a healthy manner, in a drug-free environment. That's very important. Because when you're taking drugs, it's easy. You can eat ice cream and get fucking ripped and huge. But when you're natural, it's goddamn hard. You have to be perfect to not lose your gains. And that's something that those of you out there that are natural, you understand what I'm saying. It's fucking hard just to maintain it. You have to be perfect to now increase and grow. God darn, that's so difficult. And that's when I stumbled upon all the studies talking about the whey protein isolate. Now, I took that further. I said, well, I'm not just going to take a whey protein isolate because that is a jump. That jumps the shark for the Dolce diet, and that's outside of my belief system. That's outside of my principles. I will not pollute my body for gains. I will not reduce my longevity for vanity, for gains. There has to be a better way, and I found the formula. I created the formula. A grass-fed, micro-filtered whey protein isolate that is completely lactose-free, it's sugar-free, it's non-GMO. It is as close as we can get to a whole food source as possible. And that's what I utilized. And it was goddamn amazing. I took 25 grams of this whey protein isolate first thing in the morning before I ate my breakfast bowl. Because scientific studies show that in a fasted state, consuming whey protein isolate allows an immediate, within 10 minutes, approximately 8 minutes, those amino acids get into the bloodstream. I start making gains, baby. And that's what I started doing. So before I got the carbohydrates in my system, I dumped the whey isolate into my system. And it was clean, clean. That's important. I wasn't dumping Red Lake number 40 and sucralose and aspartame and all that bullshit. I wasn't dumping all that shit into my system. Quality nutrients. And I would eat my breakfast bowl. I would have my eggs. And I would start moving through my day. I got to the point, and I would cycle this. I would take anywhere between 25 and 100 grams of supplemental whey protein isolate in my body each and every day as I went through this training system. In addition, I was taking anywhere between 200 to 300 grams of real earth-grown nutrient whole food protein. On top of that, so I was taking between 200 and, you know, just over, so 225, 250 grams to 400 grams of protein per day. Just like I talked about earlier with the carb cycling, I cycled my protein also. And I break all this stuff down in the book. And it took a while. The first month, I only gained like a pound of lean muscle. The second month, I gained a pound and a half. The third month, I gained 3 pounds. And I was off and running, and the biggest thing was my gains were consistent. And in a short period of time, I looked dramatically different. And I have the photos, and I have the blood work, and I have the body mass analysis to show the progress. So slow and steady wins the game in this case, especially when you're not in a drug induced state. That's the hardest thing. Now, if you're taking drugs, I'm not hating. I'm not judging. I understand. As long as you're not competing in, you know, a sanctioned competition, you're going to do what you're going to do. And this program will work dramatically for you. But really, if you are completely drug-free, if you're a hard gainer, you've been trying everything, every which way to gain muscle, real functional muscle, not that dirty fat shit where you gain 20 pounds and 2 pounds of muscle and you have 18 pounds of fat hanging around your dick. You don't want to be that guy.
What?
Sorry.
That's disgusting.
I know. But what's the point? Because the guys get that big pudge and then they look down.
All right. That's ew.
Ew, sorry.
I have to eat after this. I
forgot. Yeah. Yeah, power pasta, everybody.
Yeah. I'm going to look at those rotini noodles differently now. So gross.
So there we go. I'm getting passionate because I'm reliving the gains. But hopefully that answers your question. And go back and listen to this again because there's a lot of knowledge I dropped in that. And be ready, everybody. Just be ready. The time is coming where you too will be able to make these gains. And I'm 38 years old. Most of you bastards are younger than I am. You're 5, 10, 15 years younger than me, and you can make gains at a much faster rate. You can ride that anabolic window that you have wide open right now where I have to sneak through that motherfucker. But I'm still making gains.
Kira Leanne, she asked a question. She has her own question, but she asked a question for her husband, which I think he just answered. What's the best way to gain lean mass?
Just go back and listen to that whole rant. I don't want to bore you guys again with that, but that's it.
So she said, thanks for all you guys do. Her question is, do you plan on doing any writing about workout regimens while pregnant?
As a matter of fact.
Yes.
Yes, we are. We've been documenting Brandy's pregnancy since 3 months before conception to now she's 8.5 months in.
Yep.
So all the last, 8.5 months, so it'll be 3 months before conception, 9 months of pregnancy, and then 3 months post-pregnancy where she gets her...
I snap it back together, people.
But mind you, how much have you gained? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What was it the other day? Is it 18?
18?
No, it wasn't. It was 14 or 15.
Hold on. I will look. I keep stats in
my
phone.
Mike, actually, like every time the doctor does my blood pressure, which has been perfect throughout the whole pregnancy, like they'll be like, da, 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 whatever it is. And he'll write it in his phone. He keeps like charts and everything. It's really funny.
I do. I have charts in my phone because it's important to catalog this stuff, especially because we do this. I mean, everything in our life, not everything, but a lot of stuff in our life, we catalog for you guys to share with you guys. And I think that's why we translate and why we love you guys. And we get that positive energy from you in return is because we're sharing our lives with you. And we're trying to show you what has helped us. I'm not saying like you need to go and do that and I'm going to go do something else. I'm saying this is what we did. This is what we did. This really works. This is what my athletes do. This is – we've proven this stuff in the real life example. So with Brandy, that's what we're doing. So we're cataloging her pregnancy to share with you. But she has gained 17 pounds in the last 8.5 months being pregnant.
That's awesome.
Now, how much of that is baby?
I don't know. I think she's like 6 pounds now.
So if you have – you gain 17, you're 6 pounds of baby, and there's almost equal parts of fluids and, you know
– I have no idea.
Baby stuff and, you know, how many pounds are in the boobs?
Oh, my God. Like 80 pounds each.
It's awesome.
Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. That was crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, great.
What?
Go.
So anyway, so yes, to answer your question.
Thank you.
I zoned out for a second.
Oh, my God. Continue.
So
please.
To answer your question, yeah, we're writing the book right now. And our the Dolce dietitian, Samantha Wilkinson, she's actually been amazing with the writing of the baby book, where she's really hammering away on the scientific side.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
We're journaling more of the lifestyle. This is how Brandy's eating. This is how she's exercising. This is how she's feeling. These are what it's like going to the doctor. These are the weird thing that's happening inside of her. And then Samantha's layering on a lot of the science into that. So it's going to be a very comprehensive, very helpful, hopefully entertaining book that you know, ladies out there. But guys also, since before Brandy was pregnant, she became my main training partner. So she's been my only training partner for the last year, pre-pregnancy all the way through. And I've made gains this whole time. So gentlemen out there, you need to be supporting your lady to support your family and go to the gym together, train together. And that's what we talk about there and there also.
We have a lot of guys come up to us at the gym and talk about me being pregnant and what they can do to help their wives and everything. And I think the biggest thing you could do to help is just be supportive. It's fun. Like, it's fun for me to go to the gym with Mike. He's not like, do this now, God damn it, or anything like that. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's really been special. And it's cool to see, like, we're in the gym last night and there's these two fit ladies that go to our gym, and like Brandy's there working out and they're, you know, they're kind of doing their workout. They look over at Brandy and they like smile approvingly. And like, they kind of like talked about her, like they're, and I could see, cause they're all blondes, Brandy's blonde and they're all blondes. So it's like this kinship of the blondes. It seems
really,
like.
Is that what
like,
it is?
You're all dressed in your Lululemon, like, uniforms, like you have like this.
Oh yeah.
There's like, I don't know, this like secret cult. It's like me when I see a dude in the gym with like Converse on. I'm just like,
oh, the secret cult of the Converse.
The secret cult of the Converse. Something. It's like a different type of lifter that's lifting real weights, like those power lifters were last night.
Oh yeah, that was crazy last night.
It was crazy. I was like, yeah, I'm one of you. I get the fit.
He was slamming his weights really loud though.
But he was fucking lifting 545 for reps.
Yeah, the bar was bending. The bar was bending on that guy's weight.
Dude was getting it done. No straps, no wraps, no belt. The motherfucker was in there pulling real man weight in his Chuck E. T's. And he like rolled it off the platform onto the floor, and he looked around, and he like, I'm sitting there on the bench and I'm like watching him, and he's like, oh man, he's like, I'm you know, the platform's slippery, so you know,
I'm only doing one.
Like, I was like gonna rat him out. I was like, bro, like, I'm one of you. I'm waiting for you to pull. Like,
you said I'm on your team.
I'm on your team. Let's move that weight. Come on, fuck this. Like, I'll bounce the gym staff out of here. Go look that way. Someone slipped on the treadmill.
Yeah, the gym was interesting last night.
The gym was packed. But anyway, so these ladies were admiring Brandy, her baby bump, while she's over there working out. And, you know, we had a good workout last night.
Yeah. I'm just glad you don't yell at me anymore like you used to.
Well, that because you didn't take lifting seriously. If you're going to lift, if you're going to live with me, you got to take this shit serious. Like, all right. I don't care if you're lifting a 3-pound dumbbell. You need to fucking do it with focus. Now, I'm over here lifting 300-pound dumbbells, and I'm not judging until you're not focused. Brandy would, like, laugh and, like, oh, I can't do it.
Okay, that only happened once, and that was when I got my first pull-up a million years ago, and he only yelled at me once.
Because she did. I was so irritated at this. Oh my God.
It was before we were married.
So it was before we're married. We're in the gym. We're training. Like, a lot of girls think that they can't do pull-ups. It's like girls think that they can't do push-ups. They girls, you know, some girls are taught that they can't do. And I was already a strength coach at this time, working with tons of athletes. And I know ladies are better. I prefer to work with ladies instead of men because women are much more focused. They use the emotion in a positive manner, and they're very driven, and they're very goddamn competitive. Guys, on the other hand, you know, guys think that they fucking know everything, and guys, like, I don't know, they're guys kind of flip-flop. They want to do the new program, or they jump ship quite a bit of times, and they just, you know, whatever, dudes. So anyway, Brandy, she wanted your chin-ups. So I was training her. I was training the chin-up chain, where really it starts with grip strength. Most people can't do chin-ups, not because their back isn't strong enough. It's your fucking back. Put your back into it. That's where the saying comes from. Your back is one of the strongest complexes on your body. It's your fucking grip that's weak. So we trained her forearms to be strong while we primed the muscles, the pulling muscles of her biceps, which is the next weakest muscle in the chain. And finally, we were already hitting rows and pull downs, strengthening her lat muscles. So we get her starting to do these chins. And what do you remember the first thing we had you do instead of chins?
Hanging.
Just hanging. All I would have her do, and any of my clients, ladies listening, or those that can't do chin-ups, all you need to do is you just need to hang on a chin-up bar until failure. And you need to do a few sets of that. Just hang there. Hang there. Get your grip strength stronger. Get your body used to holding your body weight. And then we start engaging the muscles just by pulling the scapula, pulling the shoulder blades back, activating those muscles. Now with the slight arch, we pull the scapula back, we arch the chest up, and then we start to break the elbow, bend the elbow. We start to transfer all that force onto these muscles. We teach the movement. We teach the chain of movement. So anyway, I go through, you know, a few workouts, and her body responded really fast. So all of a sudden she gets on there, and boom, she does a pull-up. And she jumps off. She's like, ah.
I did it.
And I was like, you had more in you. Like, what the fuck you doing? I didn't say fuck, but I was like,
Way.
Yeah. I was like, you did one. You could have done three. You just fucking did one, the first one of your life, and you jumped off the bar. So.
I was so pissed because you weren't happy for me. You were just yelling.
I know, but I motivated you to do more.
I was like, you're such a jerk.
Make gains, Brandy. Come here with those one rep. Unless you got 400 pounds of dumbbells hanging between your legs.
What?
Weighted chin style.
Yeah.
Make gains.
Oh, yeah. You used to do that, too.
I used to do that.
Strap stuff to you.
Strap lots of weight to me. And rubber bands. And chains.
And chains.
Making gains.
Oh, my God.
All right. We went way off the rails on this one.
All right. Hey, Brandy Nelson says, love the show. The dynamic of you and Brandy is awesome. It's okay.
that was appropriately timed to be put in right there.
Yeah, it's funny. My question is that I'm currently lifting 3 times a week and using the strong lifts, 5x5 format, all the compound lifts. Would that be enough to shred me following the Dolce diet principles, or should I be lifting more? Also, will your workout book be out soon? Can't wait to finish goals and make others. Boom.
Yeah, the workout book will be soon. We have a spring release targeted just in time for beach season here in the United States, but really worldwide. And once it gets out there, we know it'll be awesome. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. And what I'm stoked about is that it's not a get lean, get ripped book. That was not – I mean, I'm associated with that because I help athletes lose weight, and I think I walk around and I'm pretty lean, and everyone sees these photos of just like lean, 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 get shredded and all that good stuff, which is cool. But there's more to what we do than that. And the fact that I'm going back to my roots with strength training, with muscle building. I was 282 pounds as a power lifter at one point in my life. I know how to fucking put muscle on.
You were large.
I was large. I started high school at 114 pounds. I graduated at 210. I added almost 100 pounds to my frame and only grew a few inches in high school. So I know how to fucking do it. But I was a goddamn meathead. I lived in the fucking gym. I trained with the best fucking strength athletes on the East Coast. I trained side by side. I competed with them. I mentored under them. I traveled hours and I would sleep in my fucking car and train with these dudes just to learn how to do it. And now I'm trying to share that information with you because I know a shitload of you listening, whether you're a 45-year-old guy that wants to fucking make gains and put on muscle, or you're a 14-year-old fucking kid like I was, 114 pounds, 14 years old, going into fucking high school, like, goddamn, why don't I fucking look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? I've been training for the last 6 years. Since I was 8 years old, I was fucking training. And I looked like a ripped little fucking toothpick. And I graduated looking like Superman.
What?
Well, I don't know. I'm just talking.
Hey, Casey Kinneman says, hey, Mike, how do you store your Ezekiel bread? Should I be keeping it in my fridge, the freezer, if I plan on consuming it in less than a week? Can I leave it out altogether? I keep it in the fridge.
Say that again.
The Ezekiel bread. Where do we keep it?
We keep it in the fridge. But pro tip, bing, 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 pro tip, before you eat your Ezekiel bread, take it out of the fridge. I'd say like a half hour early. Or toast it. Ezekiel bread toasted.
Oh, that's really good.
That's my shit.
Wait, I have to cut you off. Did you answer Brandy Nelson's, her lifting?
What lifting?
My question is that I'm currently lifting 3 times a week using the strong lifts, 5x5 format, all compound lifts. Is that enough to get her shredded following the Dolce Diet principles?
No, I didn't answer. So she's lifting. Did she do in a 5x5 format?
She just went on about the book.
Oh.
Because she asked about the book, too. She said, also, when will your workout book be out?
Oh, sorry. I only...
Yeah, her...
I get spacey sometimes.
No. Okay. No. So she's currently lifting 3 times a week using the strong lifts, 5x5 format, all the compound lifts. Will that be enough to shred her following the Dolce Diet principles, or should she be lifting more?
You know, it's not a matter of the resistance training sounds great. I'm a fan of the 5x5. I've used the 5x5, and I actually write about the 5x5. But you will not get shredded because of the 5x5. You will get shredded based upon your nutrition and your rest. That is a dramatic pause for effect. You will only become shredded based upon nutrition and rest. Your strength training will build muscle. Excellent. A high-intensity strength training program can help your body burn additional calories, which may contribute to fat loss. But your nutrition is the most important. 80% of fat loss minimum, I'm saying, because nobody can truly quantify the percentage. But 80%+ of your fat loss is directly related to your nutritional intake and rest. If you're not sleeping, your body's going to store body fat. If you're stressed out, your body's going to store body fat no matter what the fuck else you're doing. Strength training is awesome. The 5x5s are great. I love ladies training heavy and hard. That really builds those shapely lady muscles. That's freaking awesome. But your diet has to be pinpoint perfect to get shredded. Now, you might want to think about doing the 5x5 program following the 3 weeks to shredded meal plan. If you want to get fucking shredded but still have the energy to train and smash PRs, I would love for you to do that and love to hear your results as you go. I think you will fucking look sick in just a few cycles of that.
So, I have a few UFC fit questions here. Oh, but first, looks like Roni Oliva. I'm sorry if I just destroyed your name. She says, I freaking love you guys. Jersey Boys, thank you so much for all the wealth of knowledge. I've lost 34 pounds so far and loving life more every day. Aw. Oh, it says Mike, Brandy, and Zoe. Thank you. Where is Zoe? Zoe had her wellness check today.
Yay, Zoe.
Yeah. She's... What was she like, 68.5 pounds? Her teeth are good. She's strong. The vet was like, I was trying to check her out. She's like leaning on me and she's just all muscle. I'm like, yep, all muscle with a smile.
Yeah. If you guys know Zoe, just look at our Instagram pages. You'll see Zoe, our furry little baby.
She's so cute. Eddie Cisneros, we have to post his, he sent in some before and after pictures and a little write-up, and he looks awesome. He says, I've completed UFC Fit twice, and I'm about to start my third session. Each time my strength grew, the pounds fell off, and my performance got better and better. This time, I would like to step it up a notch. How do you feel about wearing a 20-pound weighted vest while doing the program, and which workout would be best to utilize the equipment, and which should be avoided to prevent injury?
You know, I would, if you're going to wear a weighted vest, I have no problem with that. I've actually done that before. And it's fucking awesome, but you have to make sure that you can handle it. Too many people put on weighted vests and they're not ready for it. Not that their cardio is not ready, not that their muscular energy or muscular conditioning is not ready, but their joints might not be able to take that type of pounding. And if you do wear a weighted vest, you have to make sure it's a good one that fits your body properly. There should be no slack. There should be no movement with the weighted vest. The weight should be evenly distributed. Or you can – I've seen serious injuries from really – high-level athletes wearing an improperly fitted weighted vest. So you have to be careful. But definitely, I'm not opposed to it, but I would say start slow, build yourself up, gain confidence, and I wouldn't even use it on every exercise. I would only use it on exercises that make sense.
Oh my God. Castorina Music on Twitter posted, check out my cauliflower mozzarella egg pizza I made. We need to go over there for dinner tonight. That's all I'm saying.
Let's go.
I know.
Right now?
I'm hungry.
Egg pizza.
Okay, one last question. Angie Brand says, what adaptations do you recommend to 3 weeks to Shredded for women? I'm on day 6 and I've cut the portion sizes about 25%, but I'm not sure if this is correct. What do you think?
That she should,
She cut 3 weeks to Shredded, the portion sizes to 25% for she's a woman.
She brought them down 25%. Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. And that's what I say. Even if you're a welterweight like Thiago Alves was, who we built 3 weeks, the new version, the revised version of 3 weeks to Shredded around, play with your nutrition, play with the intake just a little bit to suit your schedule. Also, based upon your expenditure, how hard are you working? What's your schedule like? That's we talk about that. And I talk about that in that book. And every time I do speak, tailor it to yourself. Now, I must say, we have many 115, 125-pound women that follow 3 weeks to Shredded exactly as Thiago Alves ate it, and they look fucking phenomenal, and they lost weight also. So that's something that should be noted, but tailor it to your appetite, tailor it to your expenditure. Never should you leave the Dolce diet principles of eating earth grown nutrients every 2 to 4 hours until you are satisfied, not until you're full. And that number 3 is going to dictate how you structure your 3 weeks to Shredded plan. So 3 weeks to Shredded fits perfectly within the Dolce diet principles, which can be utilized by anybody and everybody out there. Great question.
I'm responding to the pizza guy with holy moly.
Holy moly. So we have great news. Mr. Manville, the Anvil Gamburian, is going to be fighting on April 18th in New Jersey.
Oh, Jersey. Woo!
What? What? Dirty Jersey, baby.
Who's he fighting?
He is fighting. I can't pronounce the young man's name. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Sorry, guys. So I'm going to go to the MMA Fighting Twitter account at MMA Fighting. Got to give them some props. Manny Gamburian fighting. Oh, come on. Adjamain Sterling on UFC on Fox in Newark, New Jersey. Bum, bum, bum. And that was posted by Mark Raimondi at Mark_RAIMONDI. Got to give everybody the proper attribution for the news that they break. But Manny did text me, so I knew this was coming.
Wow, look at that weigh-in photo they used. That was his last weigh-in photo.
That was his last weigh-in.
Holy
so,
ripped.
That was on the Dolce diet.
I know, but seeing him from before and then seeing this, I haven't looked at this in a long time. It's just shocking.
He looks awesome, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks amazing.
Yeah. All the haters out there, go look at that picture and suck an egg.
Oh, who cares what they say?
Suck an egg. Yeah. I'm just teasing. You can keep on hating.
Yeah. That's cool. So was that April 18th?
April 18th in New Jersey. Awesome. Maybe you and Verona or Victoria can come for this.
Oh, that'll be good.
Hmm. Can a baby travel?
Yes, that's what we're naming her.
What?
Mike.
Oh, we are. Victoria. Hello.
Yeah, the baby can travel. She'll be at her first UFC fights. A couple months old.
That'll be awesome.
Get her all decked out.
Yeah.
Put earplugs in her. I would not take her to a UFC fight.
No.
For many
You'll
years.
You'll be home with your mom sitting on the couch.
Exactly. Watching. We'll be watching.
Eating some East Coast pizza.
Yeah.
That is on the Dolce diet, by the way.
That is.
When you're in New Jersey, you have to have a slice of pizza.
Exactly. It's the law.
What else we got?
That's it.
There's no more questions. I find that very hard to believe because my Twitter account is blown up. So I'm going to take off my private Twitter account right now. Let's see what we got here. Dun, 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 dun. Go far. What's going on? What are your thoughts on alcohol? What's your thoughts on alcohol consumption coming from Mahari T at Howie 3000? So I get this question a lot. Alcohol is a poison, has absolutely zero benefit to the human body. In fact, it has only negative effects. Therefore, you can't drink it. You shouldn't drink it. And I know a lot of you will drink it and try and justify you drinking it. But hey, it doesn't change the fact that it's fucking poison. That's why you feel all drunk and fucked up. And that's why it makes you sick the next day. And that's why people say, God, I shouldn't have drank that much last night. Because it's a goddamn poison. It will set back your gains. It will set back your gains. Just know, if you're drinking alcohol, you are not nearly the athlete that you will be, and you probably won't live as long as you should. And don't point to the people that say, well, he had a glass of wine every single day. The motherfucker would have lived a little bit longer if he didn't. Boom.
You think so?
I do. Absolutely. Science. There's too much science showing. Now, if you're talking about you're having 4 ounces of wine every other day, something like that, for that resveratrol, I say eat a fucking handful of grapes. What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
And people are going to argue with me, oh, Dolce, Dolce. And then they're going to go drink a goddamn Bud Light. Or they're going to go drink some fucking Jack and Cokes.
I don't know why. I could just, a glass of wine to me is, it's nice.
It's nice. And I understand the stress relieving, the emotional side. I understand it. I understand that. But just know you're medicating yourself with a poison. It's like popping a Xanax. It's nice. No one's going to say it's not nice. Especially a Xanax with a little alcohol. Well, now it's real nice.
What are you talking about?
So I've heard.
What about the ladies last night that were going on and on? Like, the more wine they drank, the louder they got. And Mike and I got to learn, like, we're in a restaurant. They're sitting right next to us. And we got to learn all about their gossip and their backgrounds and history. And we're just sitting there eating our food, like, listening. Mike and I love eavesdropping and gossip. It's so funny.
So we were at Honey Salt last night, our favorite restaurant in all of Las Vegas, a farm-to-table establishment done in a classy manner. And ladies and gentlemen listening, there is no better form of entertainment than being within hearing distance of two ladies at dinner drinking wine. The things that you hear, regardless of age, I don't care if they're 14 years old, they shouldn't be drinking.
No.
But I don't care how old they are or if they're 84 years old, because those yentas are gossiping the whole goddamn time about that bitch at work or the fucking lady with the $5 million house down the street and who does she think she is. And because that's what we were listening to last night.
No, but the best was it last week with the two girls who were sitting to our right, and they're talking about, there's a girl who's sitting at the bar at Honey Salt, and she's with this gentleman who appears to be considerably older. And it's made clear to us by the women sitting next to us that the girl and the gentleman are on a date. That it's a blind date. And, you know, it's that, you know, the older guy, younger girl date. And they're just like, oh my God, what is she doing? What is she thinking? All this kind of stuff. And they're just like talking about what's going on. And then the date breaks up. It looks like it broke up amicably, whatever. He leaves, nice kiss on the cheek. And she comes over and sits with them. And she's like, oh, hey, guys. And, you know, talking about his age and everything and just how it went. It was just, it was really weird because these two girls were just talking shit about their friend who was at the bar on a date. And the girl comes back and had a very nice time on the date. But they were just still talking shit. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's great. Just...
it was insanity. I wish we could have recorded or even just butted in and say, yo, your friends here are bitches.
They're talking shit about you the whole time you're on your date.
The whole time. They were hating on you. They wish that they had somebody else that cared about them because they're not good friends.
Yeah, it was, but it's, oh my God, it's so entertaining.
Straight up haters. So what else we have? We have our man, Kenny Schaefer at Kenny Has a Tweet. I like that name. And if you guys know Kenny, he is one of our closest advocates and ambassadors.
Wasn't he at the seminar?
He was at the seminar.
Yes, he was.
See Kenny. I see Kenny every day in social media. I feel like I live with the dude and hang out with him, which is awesome. So proud of you, Kenny, and all your hard work, man. The Dolce Dad, is it acceptable to add more chia and hemp seeds to the breakfast bowl to increase protein content? Hashtag clean bulk ask Dolce. Kenny, you are a genius, brother, because that's exactly what we do. When I want to up my protein content, like I said earlier, 2/3 of my diet is plant-based. That's the way I want to up my protein, and that's what I do in the mass building book. More chia seeds, more hemp seeds, and we keep that ball rolling. I would actually throw extra hemp seeds into some of my shakes. We put hemp seeds, we use it as a breading agent for our tropical fried chicken. You know, hemp seeds, I put it on my yogurt, which is ooh, so delicious. And my had chia seeds mixed in there and some raw honey drizzled on. And, man, that's awesome. So, yes, Kenny, you are a genius, but you already knew that. What else do we have? Amanda White, another one of our wonderful friends, at BritWhite24. I had my first wellness checkup with blood panels, perfect all around the board. Now, what are your thoughts on granola? No problem with granola, but there's so many different variants of granola out there. Read the ingredients. I don't know. I think maybe 1 in 100 bags of granola I've actually picked up were just granola. Most of them have added sugar. They have a lot of added BS, unfortunately, dumped in there. So, Amanda, read the ingredients. Make sure you are not poisoning yourself. Simon Boquet, a.k.a. at Cy the Great, asks, the Dolce Diet, if you could change 3 things about the fitness industry, what would they be? Ooh, I like that question.
Well, what would they be?
Let's think about this. The number one thing that I would change about the fitness industry is the dogmatic insistence on one program is better than the other. Where if you are intelligent about fitness, you will know that the best program is the one that you are not currently following, because the whole concept of human survival is adaptation. The body only changes or only is what it is because it has adapted to your environment. It has adapted to the stimuli. Therefore, you will plateau with your current program and you will need to change it up. That's why you can go CrossFit, you can powerlift, you can Olympic lift, you can train martial arts, you can be a marathon runner, you can be a swimmer, you can do all sorts of things and still have an amazing life. But the people that say CrossFit sucks and blah, 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 I used to have a boyfriend, now I have a girlfriend because he CrossFits, or powerlifters are a bunch of fucking big fat, you know, big for nothings, they're not going to do anything, they can't go up a flight of stairs. And that's the bullshit that pisses me off, because you're taking a stereotype, you're generalizing an entire population of thousands and millions of people, and you're really blanketing them with your own biases and opinions. Now, if you think about your own training programs over the course of your life, you'll see how many times you've jumped the shark and you've changed and become something different. And that's the true way to evolve. So there's no best training program. There are only good training program. There's sound principles, absolutely, and there's sound systems. And there's bad things that you shouldn't do, and that's easy to determine. But there's no best. So anybody says that their system's the best usually has a little penis, and
really?
they have a really big ego. It's true.
Really?
It's true. It's true. You'll never hear me say that.
They have a big ego.
They have a big ego, but the bigger the ego, the smaller the penis. That's the rule. I didn't make the rules. I'm just talking about it. So what else? I would change that. I would change the amount of drug use, which is really unfortunate. The feeling that people have to resort to drugs and PEDs in order to make progress, because – and this is – we could talk about, you know, the major media industries have these images. Just like men are as subject – I'm being a guy. I'm a little biased. My perspective is biased. But guys feel like they have to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger or Dwayne The Rock Johnson or, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme back, you know, from my earlier days. Guys feel like, excuse me, they have to look like that, or they're a wuss, or they're a pussy, or they're not big, or they're not tough. Where women feel like back in the earlier days that they had to be a skinny mini, like a Kate Moss. They had to be this waif type of supermodel physique, or they were not attractive. They were not sexually appealing. We know that is not true. But unfortunately with guys, there's this strong feeling that they have to jumpstart their progress, this instant gratification that they have to take drugs, especially – now, I understand and I don't condone, but I understand that professional athletes, when there's money on the line and their career is on the line, like we talk about baseball, these guys are taking stuff so they can hit the big ball and hit the home runs and get the – they're adding, you know, a zero to the back of their contracts. Instead of making $1 million, they're making $10 million or they're making $100 million. Guys like A-Rod, who have been busted for it, but he's the highest paid athlete in all of baseball. So you can kind of get it, but it's bullshit. But the average fucking dudes, the average guys that are at the gym – that's what kills me. I see these guys with these big fucking muscles, and it's funny right now to walk around all the gyms that I go to, and I see guys that I saw in the middle of summer. Now they're like 20 pounds fucking lighter. And they just, they look like they're on estrogen treatments right now. They look like a shadow of their former self. They won't look anybody in the eye, and they're just going through the motions with their fucking long sleeve shirt and their hoodies on. Where in the summertime, they're wearing like see-through fucking Chippendales, spandex, fishnet tops, looking completely ridiculous with their big muscles and their body acne popping out. So I would change the drugs or the prevalence of drugs in the industry. I would change the ego of those with the small penises. And what's the last thing that I would change?
Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk. That's actually a great one. And that's – I would change the fucking bullshit marketing and the pseudoscience of poisoning athletes and poisoning – not even athletes, consumers. The sales – the snake oil salesmanship of bullshit fucking supplement products in the industry. That's what I would change. Look at the back of your supplements. Everybody listening to this, please – before you take a scoop of your next supplement, turn it around and read the ingredients. Don't read the bullshit on the front cover, because that is marketing created by a marketing team. A shitload of money was spent on that packaging, on that color scheme, on the color of bikini pants the guy or girl is wearing, on the font, on the lettering, on the size, on the words that are being used, on the statements being made. Lots of money has been spent to entice you to purchase. But when you turn it around to the back and you actually read the ingredients of what's in that product, you're going to realize that you have been duped. You have been sold snake oil. And that's what pisses me off most. Most of that stuff can be found elsewhere. Most of that stuff is not even needed or necessary. Most of that stuff will not even be broken down, digested, and absorbed in your body. It's just a waste of money. That's what makes me really, really mad and irritated. And I see this shit all the time. The number one selling fucking product in the world is a bunch of bullshit garbage that doesn't even work, and it's probably poisoning you. That's the fucking crazy thing.
What about those Flintstone vitamins?
The Flintstone vitamins. What was in that?
It was like yellow lake. Well, I don't even know what it was. It was like crazy colors and tons of stuff. It wasn't just vitamins. It wasn't just the essential material for vitamins. It was just all sorts of sugar and coloring and all the stuff that we need to avoid. I was shocked. I was really shocked. I was just curious about what was in Flintstone vitamins last night. So I was grabbing them off the shelf and just reading the back, and my eyes were bugging out. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, Brandy was like, oh, should we get the baby Flintstone vitamins? And I was like,
I was joking.
Never. I know you were joking. And then she turns around and looks. She's like, oh my God.
I didn't realize, you know. So
everybody out there listening, and Simon, that's a great question. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to answer it. Those are the things that I would change. Just get your ego, leave your ego at the door. Don't take drugs and be informed about the foods that you eat. And that, I mean, we're pretty much following that statement, follows the Dolce principles for the most part anyway. So there we go. And Kyle Marley, Big Marley 3, asks, the Dolce diet, is the John Jones diet Dolce approved? Kyle, really? Really, buddy? That's awesome. Now, if for those of you that don't know, and if you're an inside MMA person, and so you know, Kyle Marley is fucking awesome. I mean, I think I had to ban him from the Dolce Diet UFC Pick'em contests, because the motherfucker won every one. You should be making millions of dollars in Vegas, brother. That's probably where your career is going to be, picking fights or handicapping fights. I don't know much about betting, but you are a savant. You also kicked my ass at Words with Friends, too, so...
Remember Words with Friends?
I remember that. I was like, hey, who wants to play Words with Friends? I was like, all right, cool, Kyle. I was like, this motherfucker. Like, I'm spelling like I. But anyway, so John Jones, the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, he was recently busted for having metabolites of cocaine in his system, unfortunately. And Mr. Jones went to check himself directly into rehab earlier this week. And what's kind of the weird thing that everyone's questioning is the test was done December 4th, approximately 1 month before his world title fight versus Daniel Cormier. So John took the test December 4th. A few days or, you know, a week or two later, it was found that he did test positive for cocaine metabolites, but he was allowed to fight in the fight. He was not suspended by the Athletic Commission. It was a test from the Athletic Commission. You can go to any of the major MMA outlets. MMA Junkie is a great one, and read the story much better than I could portray it. And that's what's going on with our champion. So, you know, we feel bad for John in one way, you know, that he's a great champion and he kind of succumbed to the temptation that's out there. But at the same time, he is a grown-ass man who's accountable, responsible for his own decisions. And, you know, we all got to man up. We all go through certain things in life, but we really have to – you have to be accountable. You know, I think that's what it comes down to. And especially, you know, John, he's a young kid, man. He's mid-20s now. I met him when he was in his early 20s, when he was just on his way up. And John, well, I got to say, he's always been a sweet guy to me. He's always been a professional. He's always been, you know, he's been a gentleman, even when my athletes were competing against him, trying to take his title. You know, when I was on season 19 or season 17, The Ultimate Fighter with Chael Sonnen, that was versus Team Jones. And John was just cool the whole time. So, you know, I definitely feel bad for him. But at the same time, you know, he's a grown man. And that's, you know, so what's my opinion on it? That is my opinion. We're all grown-ass men. If I, you know, I wouldn't do something like that. It blows my mind. But I'm not a young kid anymore. You know, I got 15 years on John. So that's, you know, I think there's a little bit of wisdom with that. And he's got, you know, so many people around him, so much money floating to his way. He's got that fast life. I mean, that's, you see it with a lot of high-level professional athletes. When you're the superstar, when you're in the limelight, all the temptation comes, and the people that you should be hanging out with are the ones that tell you you're fucking up, and the ones that aren't there when you're doing these things, because they're not doing those things with you. They're trying to bring you out of that scene. So hopefully John gets some great people around him, which I know some of his team are amazing people. And I hope he makes a great turnaround. He becomes an inspiration. So hopefully that answers your question, John, Kyle, but no, cocaine is not on the approved list of the Dolce diet.
Duh.
all right. So what else do we have going on?
Well, we do have someone in this room who is nominated for the Trainer of the Year.
What?
For the World MMA Awards. So that's quite noteworthy.
Boom.
I hope everybody goes and votes for Mike and under Trainer of the Year, go log into worldmmaawards.com and sign in there. Vote for Mr. Mike Dolce here, and also for Dwayne Ludwig for Coach of the Year. Who else? TJ Dillashaw, Fighter of the Year. And then Mr. Johnny Hendricks, he's nominated for, is it Fight of the Year?
Johnny Hendricks versus Robbie Lawler for the first fight that Johnny actually won, when Johnny won the title from Robbie.
That was a great fight.
It was that is the fight of the year. So yeah. I would be surprised if anybody else wins.
Miss Ronda Rousey, also for Female Fighter of the Year. So those are our picks.
I'm gonna pull it up right now real quick. So you know, it doesn't show, it just shows. Son of a bitch. I gotta log in. Is that true?
No, you just go, I have actually directions on how to do it on our website. So you go, because I'm thorough. So yeah, you go to worldmmaawards.com, and then in the upper right hand corner, if you click vote, it brings you to the voting page, and you're able to scroll through and see who's nominated for what and see who you want to vote for. And then all you have to do is go, you have to hit login, and registration is really, really easy. You just hit on don't have an account yet, and then you put your name in, your email address, and your password that you choose right there, and then you send a confirmation email, an activation link to your account. You click on that, it brings you right back in. You log in and you vote like crazy.
Boom, 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 boom. So we have, and I'm not going to pick every category, but so for the Fighter of the Year, the Charles Mask Lewis Fighter of the Year, we have TJ Dillashaw.
That's who I voted for.
That's our man TJ, who I've become, you know, close with TJ. He's such a great guy. What an amazing champion. And what he did to Henan Barao, I was there cage side with my brother, the Bob. And that was one of the most memorable fights I've ever been to. Cowboy Cerrone is on that list also. Cowboy had such an amazing year. He is a cool cat. Robbie Lawler, for what he did. Two fights with Johnny Hendricks this year. He beat Matt Brown, and he beat Jake Ellenberger. I mean, that's a fucking serious year. Emmanuel Newton, who won the Bellator light heavyweight title, and then Luka Rockhold, who also had a great year. But I'm voting for TJ. What TJ did, he literally shocked the world, came out of nowhere to do what he did. And then he had a successful title defense. Female Fighter of the Year, we have our lady, Ronda Rousey. How do you not vote for Ronda? But coming in very close is our good friend Jessica Aguilar, Jag. Both those girls, love them both. You know, but looking what Ronda has done so far, she is the queen of the sport. And she's the most dynamic female fighter on the planet, one of the most dynamic fighters, period. Breakthrough Fighter of the Year. I'm going with our man Kelvin Gastelum. What Kelvin has done this year has been absolutely amazing, putting himself on the map. International Fighter of the Year. How do you not vote for Conor McGregor? I mean, what he's done, I mean, he's electrifying. Really enjoy watching him fight. Fight of the Year. Hendricks Lawler won. That is not even, there's no competition anywhere else. Yep, that's it. Knockout of the Year. Who do we have? We have nobody in that race. So I'm going to go with, who am I going to go with? I'm going to go with Abel Trujillo versus Jamie Varner, because Abel's super cool and, you know, that was a fucking nasty knockout. Why not? Submission of the Year. Now, this is a good one. I'm going with Yancy Medeiros versus Jackson. I don't know what the kid's first name is. But what Yancy did was, they call it like the Yancy Yank, I think, right now. It was a fucking inverted guillotine. I don't even know how to describe it. It was nasty. If you guys want to pull that up, type in Yancy Medeiros, M-E-D-E-I-R-O-S, UFC 177. That was sick. I don't even know how he did that. Comeback of the Year. You know, we got Dominic Cruz. He only had one fight. Love the kid. You know, but we have Kat Zingano. You know, shit. I think I'm going to go for Kat, what she's gone through. Really, she had a very, very tough time in life, and she came back and, you know, she made it look good. So Dominic or Kat, and Kat's fight Ronda now for the title. So
that's going to be great.
That's going to be an awesome fight. Upset of the Year. How do you not go with TJ Dillashaw versus Henan Burrell? That is a no-brainer. Who else we got? We got Trainer of the Year. Uh-oh, who's that good-looking guy? But I am in the same category as Doug Balzerini of Brian Blue, Jake Bonacci, and Yoel Jameson. So I am very proud and honored to be in this group of young men. So vote for any one of us. Those are great guys. I much respect. They make me a better coach. Gym of the Year, I'm going with American Top Team based upon what they've done. They really have produced a tremendous amount of talent. And they've created a home for me. Even though I compete against them many times, they treat me as if I'm one of their own when I walk into that gym. Most of the other gyms, they love you when you're working for them, but if you're not working for them, it makes life a little difficult. Referee of the Year, I can't be biased. Ring Card of the Year, can't be biased. Leading Man of the Year, you know, I'm going to kick that to Mr. Lorenzo Fertitta or Dana White. Those guys have made our sport truly what it is. Personality Year, this one is pretty good. Kenny Florian, Hanato Lorena, Joe Rogan, Brendan Schaub, and Brian Stan, you know, all great guys, and each one stands out for another reason. If we just talked about star power, it's Joe Rogan. I mean, how do you not absolutely love Joe Rogan? I've had the ability to hang out with Brian Stan doing some of our military tours.
I would vote for Brian Stan.
I'm saying, yeah, and that's Brian Stan.
He's had a good year as a personality. He's coming out, being a commentator, and he looks good on TV. He speaks well, represents well. I think Brian Stan, this is your year.
Let's get it, Brian Stan. Also, Kenny's great. And Renato Lorena, he's fucking funny as shit. He's got this YouTube channel.
Oh, I don't really know him.
He's funny. He's one of Eddie Bravo's black belts. He's funny as hell. And then Brendan Schaub with the Fighter and the Kid podcast with Brian Callen. Best promotion. Come on. All the promotions are good, but the UFC is truly great. That's all we have to say.
And they get into lifestyle clothing. I don't really
tech
know.
Clothing, MMA media source. You know, I mean, all that's good stuff. MMA Journalist of the Year. This is actually a good category. Getting better. Ben Folks is one of the most talented writers.
I'm a fan.
I've read, you know, and I would love to see if he has anything outside of the MMA world. I should probably dig a little deeper and see what Mr. Folks has out there. His work is just excellent.
Ariel
Helwani is a great journalist. He's excellent on the microphone, the modern day Howard Cosell. Dave Meltzer is more of an inside guy. He's the guy that really breaks the pay-per-view points, and he has lots of tie into the pro wrestling world. Very fun to listen to what Dave has going on. And then Luke Thomas. Luke Thomas does a great job also. I believe Luke works for MMA Fighting. And then Jack Slack is on there. I have to become more familiar with Jack's work, but all these guys are excellent. I mean, those are the legitimate MMA journalists, and that's something that's important, because we get a little bit of flack sometimes. You see all these internet BS bounce around, but it's not from the legitimate MMA journalists. It's always from these pseudo MMA fan sites that try and portray themselves as true journalists, but they're not. That's why I love, anytime anything comes out, I get a phone call from Ben or from Ariel or from Luke and, you know, Steve Morocco at MMA Junkie, and they say, hey, Mike, this story story's coming out. This person said this. What's your reply? What's your response? You get equal time. That's what a true journalist does. So if you see a story that comes out that doesn't have the other side or doesn't have a statement from the person in which it's about or is being accused, just know that that's not a real site. It's not a real story. It's just BS internet fodder. It's like someone has a big Twitter account. You can start a website for fucking free nowadays. So it's just some little...
It's funny. It's journalism 101 to present both sides of a story.
There you go. So I'm not, yeah. That's a whole nother tangent. But anyway, worldmmaawards.com. Everybody listening to the show, I truly appreciate your support. Thank you guys so much. If I've helped you in any way, we would certainly love and appreciate you to take, you know, the 30 seconds or so to jump online and just give me a little click for Trainer of the Year. That would be very nice. We appreciate it. Thank you. Anything else we have going on, Brandy?
That is it.
That is it for now. So the Dolce Diet Center is open in our new location in Las Vegas off the 215 and Buffalo. If you live in Las Vegas, now you have a place to go to sit down with a Dolce dietitian and get your meal plan right. Get your body right. Get your life right. Get everything right. We will go to your home and go to your kitchen and teach you how to cook. We will go through your cabinets and your pantry and your refrigerator and show you and educate you. No judging. We are here to educate you, to help you change your life. We'll do grocery store stops, store shops. We will help build your life and get you in the best shape of your life. So the Dolce Diet Center, you're going to be hearing more about that as we move forward. We'll have a grand opening somewhere close to the spring. Living Lean Cookbook Volume 2, ladies and gentlemen, it is in pre-order right now. Go to the Dolce Diet Shop.com and check that out if you're interested. We want to thank our sponsors on it.com/Dolce, Total Human Optimization. That's what they do. Also, CavemanCoffeeCo.com. Tell them Dolce sent you. The promo code Dolce, save 10%. Also, CavemanFoods.com, the most delicious, healthy, all natural bars on the planet. Go to CavemanFoods/Dolce and promo code Dolce, save 10%. Anything else?
Nope.
Nope, that is it.
Every time I say nope, though, you find other things.
God, there's so much going on in my brain. You have no idea. Making gains. All I'm thinking about is gains.
All I'm thinking about is dinner.
Dinner. Dinner equals gains.
All right, let's do it then.
All right, guys, get ready because we are coming back with another podcast soon. Oh, also, ladies and gentlemen,
please,
there's always more. There's so much more. I got so much to give. Subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, please subscribe to the podcast and you don't have to worry about finding us anymore. We'll just... We'll pop it in your phone. You'll be ready. You don't have to wait for my tweets to come out and say, hey, new episode. So please, just go to the Apple page, the iTunes page, the Google Play page, whatever the page is, and subscribe to the podcast. But also, please leave us a comment. I want to interact with you. I want to learn more. So go to our podcast page and leave us a comment on this episode. Say, episode 100 was fucking awesome, or episode 101 sucks, Dolce. You're a douchebag. No, don't say that because I don't. Come to your house,
yeah,
with Brandy and Zoe, and we'll be like, oh yeah, let's talk. No power pasta for you.
No power pasta for you.
All right, guys, thank you so much, and remember, don't count calories, make calories count. Boom.
The Mike Dolce Show.